Good evening to you. I'm Gredston Zeal. Welcome to another edition of the Better Health Radio Show. And up on deck this evening, we've got Dr. Kia Lewis, and she's ready and raring to go to present to you another edition of the Better Health Radio Show. Good evening, Doctor. I hope you're better than I am.
Hi. Good evening, Gregston. I am well. It's a privilege to be here again. I hope you had a good week, a better week than last week when we talked.
A busy week, yes. It was a busy week.
Busy week. Good, good, good. As long as it was productive, that's all we want. And I want to welcome our listeners. Warm welcome to you, as always, to the Better Health Radio Show, a show which is aimed at raising public awareness of common health issues that affect us all. As usual, I'm extremely happy to be hosting you this evening. And we're very much looking forward to hearing from you. You are a big part of the show. And so we want to encourage you this evening to take the opportunity to call in. Remember, our number is 434-1790. That's 434-1790. And if you don't want your voice to be heard and identified on the radio, you can always send your WhatsApp messages to 266-4862. That's 266-4862. As usual, we have a very interesting session for you this evening. At the beginning of the year, we talked about, you know, a general theme of trying my best. And we went over some general things as it relates to diet and exercise. And last week, we had a really good session on diet and good nutrition. This week, we're very happy to have a session. We're going to be looking at exercise, but not just general things. We're going to be looking at very specific things. So, you know, if you have certain injuries, if you have certain health-related issues, can you still exercise? How can you start up a program? Do you need a personal trainer? All of that and more we will be delving into this evening. So I'm going to take the opportunity now to introduce our guest, Dr. Vicky Eswick. Let me tell you a little bit about her. She's a general practitioner and special populations physical trainer. So not only is she a doctor, but she's out there walking the walk. With her business, Dr. Vickster Fitness. You can find her on Instagram. Dr. Eswick received her medical education at the University of the West Indies, where she completed her Bachelor's of Medicine and Surgery in 2013. She was also, after graduation, she moved to Antigua and Barbuda to complete her one-year medical internship. And after that year, she was named top intern. Dr. Eswick returned to Barbados. She's worked in the polyclinics between 2017 and 2021. She paid especially close attention to patient education and healthcare literacy. Now, in September 2021, this is what makes her a little bit more special. She left Barbados to attend Middlesex University in London, England, and she has successfully met the requirements for a Master's of Science in Exercise and Physical Activity in Special Populations and Healthy Aging. She returned to Barbados at the end of September 2022 with the intent of educating both colleagues and patients on exercise and the process of aging. So those of you who want to know how to keep fit and age well, this is the host for you. Call in with your questions. In her physical training business, Dr. Vickster Fitness, she trains persons with the intent of good function, healthy aging, and chronic disease control. A big mouthful, but welcome, Dr. Vicky Eswick.
Good evening, and thank you for having me here.
Yeah, thanks so much for being with us. So I'm going to start the ball rolling. And the first thing I'm going to ask you, you know, we always talk about the health benefits of exercise and being physically fit. But when we talk about being physically fit, what does that really mean? What are the components of physical fitness?
Okay, thanks for your question. The components of physical fitness, there are actually 11 components of physical fitness. They're divided into health components and fitness components. So the health components involve strength, because of course we have to have the strength to do things in and around our lives. We need muscular endurance, and that means how long can the muscles do something for. And that's the difference with being able to lift something heavy once or being able to lift it 100 times in a row. We also have cardiovascular fitness. That's the one that we hear about the most. How fit our heart is, how fast the heart can go, or how much the heart can manage any stress on it. We have body composition. And this is an interesting one because you hear people talking about weight all the time. But it's actually not weight. It is the amount of fat that you have in your body versus the other stuff. So that's the important thing, body composition and flexibility. Now, those are the ones that are health related. The ones that are skill related initially were thought to just be part of, you know, athletes, things to make them perform better. But we've come to realize that with aging and aging in a healthy way, that these agility or these skill related components are actually quite important to us as well. So things like agility, speed, coordination, especially coordination. You know, sometimes we see our older persons maybe stumbling when they're walking, or, you know, the hand shaking when they're picking up something. So coordination is very important. Power, balance, and reaction time. So all 11 of those things together make up a physically fit person.
That is indeed a lot. So we know that when you're exercising, you're really looking at a lot of different things. So having said all of that, what are some of the general benefits? Why should we be physically active?
The easy answer is that it just helps us to live better, live a more healthy life, live an easier life. We age better. But to go into specific benefits, I'm sure all of our listeners can tell us about the, you know, treating diabetes, hypertension, you know, that kind of stuff. But exercise actually treats quite a number of diseases. It can treat from mental illnesses to chronic arthritis. And there are different types of arthritis, autoimmune diseases, the same NCDs. When you are physically active, you have a lower chance of developing cancer. Just any disease you can think of, really, even the acute diseases, so the same COVID, flu, exercise has been shown to boost your immune system. That's the part of your body that fights off anything invading it. That's also improved with exercise as well. So the easier question would be, what isn't helped or what isn't positively affected by exercise?
Absolutely, that's a mouthful. And I think one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about is that, like you said, because exercise can be used to treat a wide range of illnesses, including mental health, depression, for example, we know that exercise helps significantly with that. And so there's this discussion about doctors using an exercise prescription, you know, to help patients recover, as opposed to just giving medication. Can you just talk to us a little bit about that?
The exercise prescription is just as it sounds, the same way that your doctor would write a prescription for a certain amount of medication, a certain type of medication to be taken however many times a day. There is also exercise prescription. And unfortunately, it's not something that, at least in my time, was taught very much in medical school. But we do have quite a lot to remember. But it is something that really is coming to the foreground, especially in the last few years of COVID. Maybe realize that persons with NCDs were a lot more susceptible to having severe COVID. So exercise prescription, for example, would be, if someone has heart disease, you know, what type of exercise should and shouldn't they do? If the person has knee arthritis, and I know a lot of our listeners can relate to that, you know, what type of exercises specifically can help knee arthritis? There's even certain exercises that have been specifically shown to improve diabetes control. So knowing what those exercises are and actually being able to tell your patient these specific exercises for your disease or your injury or your disorder are what you need to do, along with all of the other things. That's what we're trying globally to try to get into place at this point.
I know that Dr. S, what you're looking to raise awareness in this area among your colleagues.
Yes.
And I think that's really important. I wanted to hear from the listeners, how would you feel about having a doctor prescribe exercise for you? because a lot of our listeners, a lot of our patients want to start exercising, but if they have heart disease or something else, they're afraid. They don't know what is safe, what is the best thing to do. So I want to hear from our listeners as well. How do you feel? How would you feel safer if your doctor gave you very specific instructions rather than just a general instruction to exercise? I want you to tell us what you're doing too in terms of helping the medical community get on track with these exercise prescriptions and so forth. You can just tell us quickly.
Yes. So I will be doing a course with Regal Development Solutions on exercise prescription for medical professionals. That's both for doctors and nurses. And in that course, we'll be covering the more common diseases, hypertension, diabetes, asthma, obesity, knee arthritis, and pregnancy. So we'll be going through those things. What are some basic things that you can tell patients, ways to assess, building on courses that may have been done before, talking about how to make a patient safe or make sure that a patient is safe to start an exercise program. And that one is starting in February. So, you know, we're right before it. There's still time to register. And we're hoping that we get enough response that is something that we can continue doing so that people can, so that not people, so that our medical professionals can help guide patients in a more specific and direct, you know, path towards their health.
Excellent. That sounds good. So the question is, because we're talking about the benefits of exercise and how it can be used to treat diseases, and it should be a part of any medical management, but a lot of people want to get started, just don't know how to get started. So what are some of your tips for getting started into an exercise program?
The first thing I will say is to start where you are. I know a lot of us see things on Facebook and Instagram, and we might be clicking through channels and see this person, you know, doing 50 pull-ups. And we get that idea in our head that that is what exercise is. But that is, it is exercise, but it's not what exercise needs to be. Something as simple as going for walks during your lunch break. So you have an hour for lunch, you take 10 minutes, go out in the car park, or even up and down the corridor inside the building, keeping your body moving, you know, that counts. If you like dancing, going to a dance class, you know, something that gets your heart rate up, something that helps you break a sweat, that is exercise. Even at home, I know some of us, they're amputees or they're persons who may have problems with their leg and feet. You can do cardio sitting. I mean, obviously, if you can stand and move around, that's preferable. But if you can't, you can do cardio sitting. You can do, you know, boxing. You can do dancing. You can do hikes. And especially, there are lots of activities that are popping up around the place. And we saw recently with the opening of the gyms at the gymnasium, the outdoor gyms, something as simple as playing catch with a grandchild outside, you know. It doesn't have to be something overboard or, you know, flashy like the ones that we tend to see on social media. But you just need to move. You just need to get your heart rate up and break a sweat. And that is where you can just start. Even if it's 10 minutes a day for 2 or 3 days a week, if you haven't exercised for a very long time, that's a good place to start. And then you build yourself up from there.
Agree, absolutely. And there's some people who want to start exercising, but like we said, have medical conditions. And there's always, we had this discussion, I remember in the first show, there was a caller who was quite informed, calling and talked about persons who should be medically cleared for exercise. So can you give us a categories of persons, for those who may have missed the first show of the year, who should be medically cleared for exercise?
Anyone with a chronic disease. Even if that chronic disease was asthma, and you know, we tend not to see asthma as a disease because so many people have it, but it is. So anyone with any chronic disease needs to consult with their doctor first, make sure that their chronic disease is either controlled or controlled to the point where it's safe for them to exercise. Of course, there are different levels of clearance. And that's a form that will be shown to the participants of the course as well, because you can have clearance to exercise on your own, clearance to exercise with a personal trainer, clearance to exercise, you know, only under medical supervision. So that's where you start. Definitely persons with any chronic disease. If you've had an injury before that you think might affect you, that's a good reason to get checked by your doctor as well to be cleared. If you've had any difficulty with exercise before, get checked. Basically, if you have any doubt, get checked. There's nothing wrong with being checked and being safe. But for sure, persons who have had previous injuries, recent surgeries, or any chronic disease should be checked by their doctor before starting any exercise.
I think that's a good reminder for persons out there who are physical trainers or otherwise, who might run in boot camps or, you know, community-minded people who might just want to start a group. Those who are participants to get themselves medically checked before they participate in any rigorous form of activity. So I talked about that. We talked about exercising at home because we know that, you know, everybody doesn't want to go outside. Everybody does not want to go to the gym. There are many benefits to going outside. You get the fresh air, you get the sun, but it's not always possible. So can you give me some tips for exercising at home, inclusive of the type of equipment that you might need?
And so exercising at home really can be done without equipment. One of my favorite fitness persons that I follow, she likes to say that your body is the machine. So you can use your body to exercise at home. I had a patient once that told me, you know, when she can't get outside, she walks around her dining table for about half an hour. And that's how she gets her half hour walk, just by walking around her dining table. Things like, if you're now starting the squats, you know, you can hold on to the back of a stable chair and just do a small squat, just bending the knees and standing. That's an exercise. If you know that you're not strong in the legs yet, you know, something as simple as that. And then we can progress to using household items as weights. So if you have two cans of something that are the same weight, 500 grams is a half kilogram, about a pound, that can be used as a way to add some resistance to your exercise. If there's someone that wants to add actual exercise equipment, one of the most versatile exercise equipment that you can get is resistance bands. They are short ones and they're long ones. They come in different strengths. They usually come as a pack, and you can go from light to heavy, and you can do almost any resistance exercise with those resistance bands, to be honest. They're usually very affordable, very easy to take around. If you're going somewhere, if you're traveling, they're very light. So if there's one piece of exercise equipment that you can get at home, definitely will be resistance bands. But yeah, other than that, there are the regular things like the elliptical, the treadmill, and the bike, etc. But definitely in today's climate, today's economy, a good one would definitely be the resistance bands.
Yeah, not to mention YouTube. I find that YouTube and IG, and these are all great resources. Instead of sitting at school and listening to music and watching cooking videos, you can actually follow persons that are into fitness and find programs and do it at home. You know, that's a nice way. So the persons, we've already talked about the NCDs, we talked about diabetes and hypertension and asthma and all that, but there are people who don't have quote-unquote NCDs, but they have problems. I cannot exercise. I've heard people say, well, you know, I have problems with my knees, so I cannot squat. You know, I have problems with my lower back, so I can't work out. I might have had surgery recently, or, you know, they have other issues, arthritis that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And they think because of this, they cannot exercise. And the truth is, with chronic pain, it's as difficult to exercise. So I want you to help our listeners who might have some issue with chronic pain. How can they still get in some physical activity? What are your tips for them?
The first thing I would say is that if you have chronic pain, that's the reason to exercise. Mm-hmm. It sounds counterproductive, but if you have knee pain from knee arthritis, exercise is actually what would help it. Even if you're waiting on surgery, there have been multiple studies done where persons who were even awaiting knee replacement surgery were able to get on some pain relief along with their pain medications by doing prescribed lower body exercises. Same thing for lower back pain. So the one thing I would say, as I said before, is to start where you are. And I will use knee arthritis as an example. The point of exercise for knee arthritis is to strengthen the muscles and tendons around the joint so it can support the joint better. And make it clear, it does not reverse the arthritis. It does not, quote unquote, fix the arthritis. But what it does is strengthens the tendons and the muscles around the knee to give the knee more support so that the two bones grinding together is not as severe as if it wasn't very well supported. So things like sitting in a chair and extending your leg out, bending in, extending it out, that strengthens the front part of the thigh. If you lay down on your belly and then bend the knee, bring the foot off the ground, that strengthens the back of your leg. Going on your tiptoes, please hold on to something if you haven't done that recently. But going up on your tiptoes actually strengthens the calf muscles. You can also like point your toes, like if you're pressing gas, and then bring your toes back up to you. That strengthens both the muscles at the back of the calf and at the front of the shin bone. So there are quite a number of muscles around the knee that support the knee. And we would give exercises such as those I described and others that would strengthen those structures around the knee to give the knee more support. And for any other ailment, again, once you're cleared by your doctor, you would have targeted exercises towards those things. One, to assess why you might be having the pain, because there are many reasons for example, back pain. To assess why you're having that back pain along with your medical professionals, and then to pick exercises to fix whatever is going on. Amazingly, it may not actually be your back that's the problem. So some people with back pain, it's because they have weak glutes and hamstrings, which is at the back of the thigh. Some people with shoulder pain, it's because their pelvis is out of alignment. You know, so it actually might not be the area that you are having the pain. So that's very important to get assessed both by your doctor and if you're working with a personal trainer, so that you can have exercises directed towards those things.
Yeah, I think that's excellent. One of the things that I've heard recently that, you know, persons go to chiropractors and so forth to get their bodies realigned and all of that. But one of the things I would have discovered, I would have heard, is that just what you're saying. So for some people, it's just that they don't have the muscular strength around the joints and so forth. And that is why it feels like the body's going out of alignment. And it is really the exercises that they need to do at home that keeps the body in alignment and helps to treat the chronic pain. Sciatica is very, very common. It's a very common cause of lower back pain. I say the word and I know that somebody out there is going to relate to what I'm saying, where you're getting that pain in the lower back and it's shooting down the leg. Do you have any tips for persons specifically with sciatica?
So sciatica does have different origins. So it starts with the origin of the pain, if it's because of arthritis, if it was because of an injury, you know, intervertebral disc problem, something in the glutes. So because there's so many different sources for sciatica, I would say that it would depend on the source of the pain and what the issue is. But just as for the knee arthritis, the supporting structures, the muscles in the lower back, the muscles in the glutes, and for those who don't know, the glutes, bottom, buttocks, you know, down the back of the leg, things like, I even have one that has a problem where it affects his movement of his ankle. Well, it can vary in severity as well. So I don't want to give specific exercises for that just because there's so many different origins of it. But definitely working with your doctor, then going through, a lot of people go through the physiotherapist and then to a long-time personal trainer would be able to pick exercises that are more suited to the cause. Because that's it. The sciatica is really a symptom. You need to find out what's causing the sciatica and then go from there.
I that's a good point. I'm glad that you brought up the physiotherapist, because that's a very important part of medical management, having somebody there who can specifically advise a patient based on their diagnosis of how to move their body, you know, to help to heal. I want to remind our callers, you can call in with your questions or comments at 434-1790, 434-1790. You can also WhatsApp us at 266-4862, 266-4862. We would love to hear from you this evening. So we talked about medical issues. You know, we talk what we would call in medicine pathology, so problems, right? Mm-hmm. So there are things that women experience every month, the premenopausal women anyway. And, you know, one of the common things is that you find sometimes mothers will write letters and say, don't let this child participate in physical education because they are on their periods. Some women also shy away from the gym while they're on their periods. What I want to ask you is, should women continue to exercise? Oh, we have a call. So we're going to hold this question for after the call.
Yes, and I think he's on a cellular phone, so I don't want to keep him waiting too long. Then we'll pick back up on your point. Caller, are you with us?
Yes, I'm there.
Yes, they have your attention.
Yes, good evening, Doc.
Hi, good evening, caller.
Good evening.
Yes, I discovered that recently I get up every hour in the night and pass water three times, going to four times. It only happened in the night. What's the problem right there? What can cause that?
All right. Thank you for calling. There are a number of reasons why you can be passing water frequently at night. I wouldn't want to give you a diagnosis because there's so many reasons why that might happen. You know, there's diabetes, there's enlarged prostate, there's many reasons. But I think that if you notice you are passing water more often at night, that is something that you definitely need to see your physician about, and it is something that you should never ignore, especially as a man. For anybody, but yes, that's something that you should see your doctor about. I hope that's helpful.
Are you still with us, sir? No, I think he's gone. I guess he was listening. All right, Doc, continue, please.
Right. So I was asking, should women on their periods still exercise? If they do exercise, do they need to modify their routine? What would be your advice for those women?
Yeah, we're getting more comfortable with the idea that a period happens. You know, at one point we would not be talking about periods on the radio. But yeah. The menstrual cycle involves a change in your hormones, which changes how your body functions. And I would say you need to listen to your body. If you realize that just before your period, you know, some people get tired, some people get weak, some people get, you know, moody. I wouldn't say you have to stop necessarily, but, you know, you train according to your cycle. So before your period, you might want to lighten up on the exercises that you do, maybe not lift as heavy, stuff like that. During the period, I know that some women have heavy periods. So I would say if you're a person that has heavy periods and you find that you're getting dizziness or lightheadedness, you know, extreme thirst, that's a reason that you need to go and see your doctor. But if you're able to move, you should at least do something. And I would appeal to the PE teachers as well. If you know that a young lady is menstruating, you know, don't be too hard on them. Encourage them to move. They might not be able to run the laps around the field, but maybe they can walk them, you know, to still get in some movement during the period. But again, of course, if you're having any issues, you need to see your doctor about it. But I would encourage you to continue moving.
Great. Bryson, do we have a caller?
Yes, please. Good evening.
Evening, y'all. What? Are y'all okay?
Yes, they can hear you. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. I suffer constipation. But not, I always say that I experienced it a couple of, for a while, I'm sorry. Well, but still, if I use something for the last day, it will free up itself. But if I don't use the last day, I don't always get it. I don't always get the bowel movement. And I wonder if that's my prostate or my colon. I don't get any pains. You know? I don't get any pains. I don't get any pain at all. No pain at all. Is that constipated or like this, that. But when even I feel why I eat, you know. Can we talk to why I eat? But all I can say is that I find it strange that I drink a lot of water, a lot of fluids, and I still getting problems sometimes. Most things, right? I don't know, some most things. But I don't know what you all could tell me with that.
All right, caller. Thank you. Thank you for your call and for your question. What I will say is that constipation, while it is quite a common problem, it can be very difficult for the person that's dealing with it, right? And you pointed out some things. Constipation can be caused by a number of factors. One of them being your diet and the level of water you're drinking, but it can also point to more serious medical problems as well. So what I would say is that if you notice that you're getting constipated more often than before, it's definitely something that you would need to bring up and discuss with your general practitioner. Bring it and discuss with the doctor.
Before you go. Mm-hmm. I take medication also.
Mm-hmm.
I see psyche medication, I see medications for cholesterol, aspirin, and also pressure. And I use vitamins, B complex, omega 3, or B12. I don't know if these things are comparison as far as making me constipated.
Right, so yeah, there are some medications for sure that can contribute to constipation. There are so many factors. So it might not, because I don't know your specific medication. So I'm not saying it's the medication or is your day or anything. What I am saying is that because there's so many factors, it is a discussion that you should have with your doctor. You should always let your doctor know if you are having issues with constipation, especially if you're above a certain age, so that you can screen for things, for example, like colon cancers. And, you know, if there's an issue with your medication, that can be reviewed. If there's an issue with your diet, that can be reviewed. So the best thing to do is to have a conversation with your doctor so that you can begin to pinpoint where the issue is. And of course, drink lots of water because you can't go wrong with drinking lots of water. But
I thought when you got colon problems, it's too black or tarry. I thought when the doctor got colon problems, the doctor told me that, like, it's too tarry. And it's abnormal. I might not like that.
Right. That's only one type of colon problem. But because there are different types of colon, right, and they can manifest in different ways. Okay. So that's why it's really important to have that conversation with your doctor, exactly what's happening. And they will know the questions to ask you so that we can, you know, you can get to the bottom of that situation.
Well, Next, in March, I mean, that's my appointment. I will hold on.
All right, sir. Thank you for your call and for your contribution. And keep listening, please. Very informative program we have here, the Better Health Radio Show. Thank you, sir, and you take care. Doctor, before you get back to your guest, I have a query here. I know that I have your attention. Let me engage you very quickly. First, they asked me to ask you. Good night, Doc. What's the cause of heel pain? Heel pain. H-E-E-L. Heel pain. That's number one.
You can tell me the other questions more than one.
All right. And the other one is, let's go through this one here. It says, good evening, Doc. What kind of exercise should be done when having pain in your knees? When you're walking, try to walk a little fast and you have to slow down because knees kind of buckle. And if I'm not careful, I will drop to the ground. Can you tell me Why is that? Thank you. That's number two.
All right, not number two. So we're talking about heel pain, and we're talking about needs and exercising. So, Dr. Estimate?
Okay, thank you for your questions, caller. Now let's talk about heel pain. Heel pain actually has, as with anything in medicine, it has different causes, and it really depends on what you are experiencing outside of the heel pain, such as what time you have it, when you have it, what makes it worse, what makes it better. There are a couple of things, things like heel spurs. That's where you have a part of the heel bone that has overgrown a bit into a point. Or you can have something called plantar fasciitis. That's where the ligament at the bottom of the foot is a bit stressed for one reason or another. It's quite difficult to answer why you specifically are having heel pain without seeing you and examining you. So that's something that you would need to actually be seen in person by a doctor for to get the answer to. So yeah, that's my best advice, to get it checked out in person by your doctor. The second question on the knee pain, again, it depends on what is causing your knee pain. We would have covered the more common cause of knee pain, which tends to be osteoarthritis. That's where the cartilage of the knee has been worn away and you have the bones starting to rub against each other. In that case, the exercises that I would have mentioned, which would strengthen the muscles around the knee, being leg extensions, that's where you're sitting and straightening out your leg, or where you're lying, starting with a straight leg and bending it up, called hamstring curls, tiptoeing, which we called calf raises. There are different exercises that can be done, but the first thing, the most important thing, is to find out why you're having knee pain and then go from there.
All right. I hope that's helpful. I'm sure it was a mouthful. So thank you so much for those questions.
Yeah. If you don't mind, can I interrupt you further?
Of course.
Yes. We've got a caller on the line, and we've got another query here on the WhatsApp. So let's go to the caller first, so we don't lose him. Good evening.
Grand
good evening, Colin.
Yes, and grand and good evening to you. Thank you for taking my call, and thanks to the panel tonight for making exercise like an exercise book. We must write it on the tablets of our hearts. So I have two questions. One question, in terms of when you're now starting out after you've exercised before, but your body has, you know, gone back into the flab or gone back into not being so fit. Would it be better to start off more motivated this time with another person or group of people, or is it best to exercise on your own? And I know that this question is very relevant because we're in the time of COVID still, where I'm asking you now. Thank you.
All right, so I think the question was, if you used to exercise before, you kind of dropped off, and now you want to restart, if I understand, and you want to be motivated, would it be better to start off by yourself, or would it be better to start off with a group of people? So Dr. Estimate?
Okay, thank you for your question, caller. The answer to that is actually dependent on you. People have different motivations. There are people who are extrinsically motivated, which means that they need something else to motivate them. Maybe they have a goal to reach, you know, they want to fit into a certain dress, they want to be there with their grandchildren. There's external motivators. And then there are people who are intrinsically motivated, which means that they themselves can say, I need to get up and do this and get this done. So for people, it depends on which you are, but I would say starting with a group tends to be better, especially in the older population. Being social is actually what gets older people to exercise more frequently and more consistently. The fact that you get to go talk to people, because, you know, the children go to work, they got their own children to deal with, and, you know, they got their meetings, they don't have time, you know, your friends. are all over the place, but that's a way for you guys to get together and do something together. So it becomes a habit, and it becomes an event, your weekly event that you go to. I know one of my lecturers, her mom does not miss a week, even when London had this terrible thunderstorm. She was like, no, I still have my session. I'm going to my session. I'm not missing it. So, you know, it becomes quite something to look forward to. So I would say, yes, the group thing is good. But if you're somebody that's accustomed working on your own and you know that that's something that you can do, then I would say by yourself is just fine.
Yes, brilliant. Thank you very much. I thought that was the quintessential answer for the explanatory example of myself and others like me who will definitely get somebody to exercise with them. Very quickly, the last question before I go, thank you very much. At what age should you start exercising and what age do you cut it off? Because like with me, I would have started around 16, which is normal. But you know, there's some athlete children today that can may start slightly earlier. And my grandmother also, when she was about 100, she would have been even very active and exercising. But by the time she went to 105, she stopped. She couldn't do it anymore because she was bedridden. She couldn't walk. So I was wondering, what age would you recommend based on the knowledge of the medicinal values of exercise? What age is it best to start? What age is it best to cut it off? And, you know, just do the little hand movements in the bed after that particular time. Thank you.
That is phenomenal. First of all, that's an excellent question. And I am fascinated with your grandmother exercising up onto 105. If that is not motivation for our listeners, I do not know what is to say that.
Thank you, caller, for asking that question, because that could have been the answer to that could have just been the whole show. If that was the first thing we came on the show and did, and you asked that question and I answered it, we could have ended the show there. Exercise is for everybody. And I'm going to say this again. Exercise is for everyone. Exercise and sports are two different things. We tend to grow up grouping them together as one thing. But even if you were not a sporty person, even if you have not an athletic bone in your body, you should exercise. There are exercise guidelines for children all the way up to the very elderly, which would have included the lady that the gentleman spoke about. Everyone, regardless of athletic ability, should exercise. And as I said, exercise does not mean going and running a marathon. So even if the grandmother at 105 is in bed and all she can do is raise her hands up and down 10 times and then raise them up to the side 10 times and then push up on her arms and lay back down 10 times, that is exercise, you know. So everybody and people who exercise have a better quality of life. So I know a lot of people say, well, you got dead sometime. Well, that may be true. How do you want to live until that time?
Okay.
You know? Yep. You want to be able to get around and go in the kitchen and cook for yourself and, you know, go and walk down the road and enjoy the children running around. And, you know, you want to be able to do things up until that time comes. So exercise is important. The earlier you start, the better. As I said, there are guidelines for children. I wouldn't have gone into children, but something as simple as children are supposed to exercise for about an hour a day. And most of our programs have PE once a week. Mm-hmm. But they're supposed to run around and do things, dance, jump, whatever, for an hour a day. And then we have the ones for adults. But everybody, I have a 98-year-old client. Everybody should exercise.
All right, caller. Thank you so much for your call. And I'm coming at you again, Doc. I think I've got another caller here on the line. So let's see. And I've got a WhatsApp or two there to bring to you. Let's see if we can access this call. Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Yes, please. The good doctors can hear you. Go right ahead, please. Make sure your radio is turned a tad bit down, because we can hear you coming back at us.
Sorry.
All right. When you've addressed that issue, then you can carry on smartly with the good doctors.
Yeah, thank you.
Go ahead, please.
I'm 76 years of age, and I don't have any pains. at no time. And this is years now that I don't have any pains. Should I still start exercising or just remain the way I am? Oh, yeah.
Thank you for your question. Yes, you should start exercising. But talk to your doctor first.
Yeah, definitely medically clear first.
Talk to your doctor first, but just because of your age, but yes, you should exercise. Everybody should exercise. As
but people are pardon? My shoulder, my fingers, nothing at all, don't pain me, nothing.
And we should keep it that way, by exercising.
This is years now and I don't exercise.
And it will be better by exercising.
Exercise is not only about avoiding physical pain, but remember, it's extremely good for your heart, your lungs. It reduces the risk of cancers, all of those things. So you've made it to 76, which is excellent. And so we want to keep you in good health. So there are things that you cannot see going on inside of your body. You can't sense them by pain. You know, that may be affected by you not exercising. So starting to exercise at this age is still going to add some benefit. But like we said, just talk to your doctor first so you know how and where to start.
Okay, thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Thank you kindly. Let's see if we can access this next caller here quickly. Let's try this and try this. Good evening.
Good evening, Greg.
Yes, please. Go right ahead. Time is getting very short on us, so go right ahead, please.
Yeah, yeah. Good evening to you and your guests. Doc.
Good evening.
I would like to know how people in a wheelchair or people that are confined to a bed, well, you say if you raise your foot, your legs and your arms and that kind of thing, that's exercising. But if you're in a confined bed and you can't do those things, or you're confined to a wheelchair and you can't do those things, then what people like that, what should they do?
All right, thank you for your question. It depends on what you can move. So movement is the important thing. Moving what you can move and how you can move it. I will give an example. I have a client who, when she started with me, actually had surgery on both her feet at the same time. And she was confined to bed. And she was able to do cardio. She was able to do strengthening exercises for the muscles, the other muscles that she could use, which is basically everything from the knees up. There are exercises that can be modified for persons who are either in a wheelchair or confined to bed. As part of one of the exercise programs I would have done in London, one of the clients actually had one foot amputated, but he was still there. The leg exercises he did with the remaining leg, the upper body exercises, he did all of them. And it is very important for these persons to move the muscles that they can, because the phrase, if you don't use it, you lose it, is very literal and very real for your muscles. So just being able to move anything and moving what you can and how you can is very important, not only for the maintenance of, you know, as Dr. Lewis would have pointed out, not just the external health, but the internal health as well. So obviously it depends on what the restriction is, but I would just say move what you can, when you can, how you can.
Is all benefit. I want to add to your program, Doc, by saying one of the best ways to exercise, believe it or not, is to go in the sea.
I agree. Swimming.
Yeah, swimming. That's one of the best exercises, and it is free, free, free.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, thanks, Doc.
All right, sir.
That's an excellent
thank you as well.
To go in to see, de-stress, and get some exercise in, low resistance. Great tip.
Yes. And you don't have to know how to swim. So even something like running in the water or trying to walk in the water, you know, against the waves as resistance. And it's also really great for persons with arthritis, because you get to take that body weight and stress off of your joints and move the muscles around the joints without that pressure. So yes, definitely going in the sea is a great way to exercise.
All right. Doc, I'm coming at you again. I've got a couple of WhatsApps here, and I've got another caller on the line. Very good evening.
Chef, do you happy to hear to you?
Yes, please. Likewise.
Yes, please. As I understand it, exercising and dieting goes together. I used to play hockey, and that's what our regime used to be. It wasn't only about exercise, but it was about what you eat. Now, I want to discuss the eating part. I've been saying this for the longest while, and the people on this program have been agreeing with me. I had a callers who have been saying the same thing about healthy foods versus unhealthy foods. Mm. You know, we talk about Barbados being the amputee capital in the world. We talk about the diabetes. Every health minister has spoken about it, but I am not seeing enough done to make these healthy foods available to all people, especially children. The junk is readily available. We've even spoke about vendors who sell junk foods on school premises.
Absolutely.
All of those things need to be looked at, because we have to really deal with the children, because if we don't deal with them, they're going to grow, and whatever is inside their body is going to grow with them. I think it's about time that the officials stop the law talking and start doing some action. But vegetables are very, very expensive. I went into the market the other day and I saw a lemon. One lemon, $1.50.
Wow.
Right. We got a lot of land, but here we need to start cultivating it. Cut down on importment and start growing our healthy foods here. If we are having difficulty as far as prices is concerned with importing these foods, start growing them here. We have the land. And I am not making this into a political statement, because all of them are guilty. I have said this before, even at the hospital, the premier healthcare institution in Barbados, you can go there and you can punch some money in a machine and get junk. That should be, if you want to bring the junk to the hospital, that's your business. But you should be able to go there and source it. You have a nice evening.
I want to say to the caller before you go, you have made some excellent points. You have made my heart smile, especially when you talk about the children. Because as some of the listeners may know, I am the chairman of the Barbados Childhood Obesity Prevention Coalition, and we have been pushing for the implementation of the school nutrition policy that will remove the junk out of the schools. And I also agree with the point of removing the junk out of the hospital as well, because we have to set that example. And I think all that you're saying, sir, points to the fact that we need to provide a protective environment. It's okay to tell people you have to eat healthy, but you must provide the appropriate support. That said, I don't know if you missed the show last week, because that's exactly what we covered. We talked about nutrition. We talked about tips to help people to eat healthy on a budget. But I agree with you. There's a lot of work for us to do. There's a lot of policy that needs to be enacted and put in place to protect our children and to protect our population at large. So I thank you so much for your call. And I hope that the persons that can make these changes are listening to what the public is asking for. Thank you so much.
Okay, sir. Thank you kindly. And I know that voice sounds awfully familiar. You have a wonderful evening, sir. I'm going to impose upon you again. I've got a couple here, so let's go through them very quickly. This one says, good doctor, good night to everyone in the studio. What about pinched nerve to the spine? Should you lift anything that is heavy? That's part A. Part B, if someone was born with hernia and they were operated on from an early age, the person is now in their 20s, will they still be able to lift heavy stuff? And is it true that they grow back as you get older? That's a lot there for you, and that's just one. So what say you, please?
Dr. Esther?
Yes, thank you for your questions. The first question, pinched nerve, if you should lift something heavy, I cannot answer that because I'm not your doctor. That evolves which nerve, where it's pinched, how long it's been pinched for, where you are in your recovery. So unfortunately, I would not be able to answer that question for you. The second question, having a hernia repair as a child and now lifting something heavy as an adult. I can answer the last question first. Yes, it's true that hernias can reoccur if you have an issue where the repair was done. And yes, that can be caused by heavy lifting. So what I would say is, again, that you need to involve your doctor. And you do need to be careful with heavy lifting. The problem in heavy lifting is that we tend to take a deep breath in and brace down, which causes a lot of pressure in our abdomen. So if that's the area where the hernia was, it can push against where it was healed and cause the hernia to happen again. But again, that's a conversation to have with your doctor as to how much you can actually lift, what types of lifting you can do, how heavy you can lift, and go from there.
All right, another one for you. Good evening. I'm experiencing severe knee pain, arthritis related. Should I bandage my knees when exercising?
Okay, thanks for that question. Bandaging is very interesting because there are actually certain techniques that provide certain amounts of support to the knee. So I wouldn't say that just, you know, bandaging the knee is going to help much. What you can do is speak to your doctor about what types of knee braces might be better. If you have a physiotherapist, the physiotherapist may be able to help you with techniques on how to bandage the knee to provide that support. The little cakey ones that people tend to buy a lot, those don't help very much. But if you have the ones that support, maybe that have more support on the side, that have Velcro that you can adjust the size of it, those tend to be to offer more support. But again, speaking to the doctor and the physiotherapist, if you have one, they would be able to really go into that for you.
All right. Yeah, one last one, Doc, and I'm not sure this is, in fact, I'm quite sure it's not related to our topic here, but just from the expert point of view, just reassure this person for me. It's a little bit lengthy, so let me get to it. I'm quite sure you will give them some comfort when you advise them. This one says, I've been recently diagnosed with angina. For the past 3 nights, usually between 1 to 3 a.m., I've experienced elevated blood pressure, and they gave a reading of 155 over 95 or higher, intense flashes of chest pain, and one occasion a heartbeat which was severe sudden pound. On a scale of 1 to 10, the flashes of chest pain varied between 6 to 9, and the pound was between 8 or 9. My question is, how can I tell if what I'm usually experiencing at night is angina, a panic attack, or a combination of both?
Let me say, if you have angina and you are experiencing severe chest pain, especially if it's associated with your heart racing or anything like that, the other things you may get, you may be sweating, may have upset stomach, all of those are things that you have to pay attention to because you might be looking at a heart attack. People don't understand sometimes you can have a heart attack and not even know it and end up going into heart failure. So anytime that you're diagnosed with something like angina, don't ever assume it's a panic attack. Always, 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 if you're having unusual chest pain, see your doctor ASAP as soon as possible. Seek medical attention. And the fact that the blood pressures are high puts you at even greater risk of something like a heart attack. So I don't want to reassure you to say, oh, it's okay. I want to say to you, please follow up with your physician as soon as you can. If you get really bad chest pain in the night, I would say seek emergency help. Because you don't know when that's gonna transition into something more serious. Dr. Esper, I don't know if there's anything you wanted to add to that.
No, I agree with you. If you have angina, you have chest pain, or you're not sure what it is, please seek attention immediately. It's better to be safe than sorry. So, right now, you should probably go and get checked as soon as possible.
immediate medical attention. Don't play with chest pain, be setting off angina. Angina means that you already have heart disease. So that would be my answer. I know that we're out of time. I just wanted to ask you some very, very quick questions, Gregson, if you would allow me.
Yeah, I will allow you. It will be tick for tat. You will pose your question, and I, in return, will ask you this one. And this one came in at minutes to five, by the way, long before you started your show. But it was, it is not on your topic, but I just don't want to disappoint the person. And it's a general question, but I guess you can just give an answer to... I'll help the person out here. They ask, if a young woman had a baby 4 days ago, and I'm assuming from the question they're talking about cesarean section, belly cut. So I assume they're speaking of cesarean section. If a young woman had a baby 4 days ago, how many days or weeks should she have to rest? That was the question.
For C-section? We mean rest from it in terms of physical activity?
Yeah, yes, after having that operation done.
I think the average is usually about 6 weeks for sure, minimum. But I don't know if you want to add anything to that, but that's what I remember.
The strenuous activity outside of just, the walking and stuff, they usually recommend around 6 weeks.
Yeah, for recovery.
All right, so that's the answer. That's the answer there. The person who messaged at 15 before 5 for show at 6, that's your answer. Doc, go ahead with your question, please.
I wanted to ask, because I know somebody's going to go away from here motivated and say, I am going to start exercising, and they're going to be broke up. They're going to be broke up when they finish. So first question real quick is, how do you know when the workout is strenuous enough when you need to stop? That's the first question. So how do you know when the workout is strenuous enough? And when during the workout you need to stop?
And so how strenuous the exercise is, we usually ask you on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 is that this is easy, I can do it in my sleep. 10 is I cannot get up off this ground, I feel terrible. And moderate activity, which is the one that is recommended most, is usually around a 5. And 5 is you speaking, you can speak, but not in full sentences. You might have to take a breath in between. So you shouldn't be able to carry on the conversation comfortably. I see some people walking, and walking is good, but they're walking and talking and having a regular conversation. So that one isn't strenuous enough. Wow. But if you're talking and that might be a bit too strenuous. So that's going out into 8 or 9. So, for example, I will be talking to you and I might just have to take a breath in between every few words. That is in the moderate range, which is mostly where we advise people to be.
That's a sweet spot. And when should you stop? What are some quick signs that you should immediately stop the activity?
If you're feeling dizzy, if you're having chest pain, if any sudden pains in any part of your body might indicate, some type of injury. If you don't feel that you can lift something heavy, don't do it by yourself. Have someone there with you. But also, it is okay to stop. And this is especially for the guys. The guys tend to have a lot of pride when they're exercising. There is nothing wrong with lifting up a 5-pound weight. There are some exercises that still require a 5-pound weight, even for the fittest person. It is about doing what you can and challenging yourself where you are. So please don't go into people's gym and see people deadlifting 185 pounds and then say, you look smaller than me. I could do that too. And then hurt yourself.
And feel like Benji's for the rest of the week.
Exactly.
The woman smelling like Benji's for the rest of the week.
It's not worth it.
So, after that last question, because I want to listen here for the people who are, I know, going to have some pains and stuff after the exercise. Give us some quick recovery tips after a strenuous workout. It's normal to get that stiffness and that pain for a little while. But what are some quick recovery tips? What should you eat? How should you stretch? That kind of thing to help people to be able to get back into it as soon as possible.
Right, so stretching is the first thing. Stretching is shown to be more effective around 2 minutes. And I know that's a lot longer than we've ever held a stretch in school. But the stretching, especially that the muscles that you would have concentrated on or full body stretching, is important. Keep hydrated. Drink the water. I know you keep hearing people saying that. Drink water, drink water. We are 70% water. Mm-hmm. Our muscles are a lot of water. You need to drink the water. Rest is important. I know some people want to get fit quickly and lose a lot of weight, so they go to the gym 7 days a week. Please have rest days where maybe you have active rest. You can just go on a leisurely walk, or you don't do anything at all. Rest, sleeping properly is important. Make sure that you get those 8 hours of sleep at night. Just all the regular things that we advice for health generally is what I would recommend for recovery. With regards to the soreness, especially if you're a beginner, within the first 1 to 2 days of exercise, you may feel some soreness and tightness, even pain in the muscles that you would have used. Please don't let that deter you. That fades over time as you continue to be active. What I would say is, again, do not start at the highest intensity. If you're going to a spin class and you see the people at the front going up, down, side to side, up to no, I still cannot get that done. I'm going to go in the spin class and I'm going to take my time. You know, start where you are, because there is something called rhabdomyolysis. That's where you have a sudden increase in physical activity and you get too much muscle breaking down. It is very serious, can be as serious as fatal, ICU type serious. So that's why I keep, you know, stressing throughout the show. Start where you are, start simply, start easy, and work your way up. If you do find that you're having pain for days, if you're having a lot of tightness in the muscles, swelling, if you're having dark colored urine, please go and get checked to make sure that this is not going on with you. But start where you are, drink your water, get your sleep, move every day, and things will go well for you.
All right. Last question before Dr. Lewis wraps up. Dr. Estwick, a listener is querying, is there a listing in the phone book for you and your practice, please? Are you listed in the directory?
I am not listed in the directory, but I can give you my contact information.
Absolutely.
Yes. I can be contacted at 847-1667. That's 847-1667. That's call or WhatsApp. You can email me at Dr. Vicky Fitness. So that's drvickifitness@gmail.com. I also am on Instagram and Facebook as Dr. Vickster 246. So that's Dr. as in Dr. Vickster is VickSter 246. If you search for me on Instagram or on Facebook, you'll find me there.
And you'll get to see her in action working out. So please follow the Instagram page.
All right. Thank you, Candy. Go ahead, Dr. Lewis.
Dr. Esther, I want to thank you so much. This is a great show, very interactive. Our callers clearly wanted to know a lot about physical activity. So thank you for taking the time to educate us. This is a specialist area for you, so I hope that persons take the opportunity to reach out to you to get the advice that they need and to get those exercise prescriptions. I want to thank you, Gregson, for always being an excellent support for us here. And I want to thank all of our callers for being so engaged this evening. We really, really enjoy having you on the show and all the different perspectives that you bring. So until next time, remember our theme for the year is a trying my best. I want you, when you take doing your exercise, take your pictures, hashtag us at Better Health Radio Show, trying my best, exercise, whatever you want to hashtag, so that we know that you're on board with us. So until next time, we're looking forward to hearing from you. We will hear you then, God willing.
Yes, thank you kindly. And Dr. Eswick, believe it or not, just got a message saying, missed the number. Just repeat the number one more time, and then we'll say goodbye. I beg you, please.
Yes, of course. It's 847 1667.
All right. Now, if they miss that this time, thank you kindly, Dr. Eswick. That's Vicky Eswick there, Dr. Vicky Eswick, the guest this evening on the Better Health Radio Show. And your presenter this evening was Dr. Keir Lewis. God's willing, we'll hear from them again sometime in the future. But definitely, we'll have Miss Dr. Lewis back around with us next weekend, Dr. Lewis, or is it Dr. Granderson?
It's one of us. It's not me. I can't remember the schedule.
That's
Dr. Granderson, I believe, will be with you next week.
Wonderful. Thank you kindly, and you ladies have a wonderful evening.
All right. You have a great evening.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.